views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good evening. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is March 4th, 2017. Happy birthday to my baby brother, the only baby brother that I have. So big shout out to my baby brother who is residing in Detroit, Michigan right now. It is a Saturday evening, and I have a lot of news to share with you. Before I get into the program description for tonight, let me go ahead and give out the phone numbers in case anybody has a question or a comment that they would like to make. Always open to callers sharing their input on some of the topics that we are discussing during the program. All right, so let's get into some of the stories that I want to talk about. This new Attorney General Jeff Beauregard Sessions has people put an emphasis on that middle name, considering it's Confederate heritage or Southern heritage, whichever. But anyway, there are some questions about this man that I have. Is he trying to get more people killed, including cops, with his intention to allow these police departments to escape the scrutiny of federal oversight concerning the killing of U.S. citizens by slave catchers, as well as the racketeering schemes to deprive the people of their life, liberty, and property? Now, Confederate crackers like Jeff Sessions talk a lot about states' rights when it suits them. But when it comes to the issue of cannabis legalization, Jeff Sessions is relying on dispelled myths about cannabis making people violent, and he is making a mockery of the science behind treating health issues with cannabis. I mean, there has been a lot of medical, scientific research into the health benefits of cannabis and all the different health ailments that it can treat. And he's making an open mockery of the science. Speaking of Jeff Sessions, this has been 24/7 on the mainstream networks. You would think we were living in the 1950s and Joe McCarthy was still a senator in Congress. We have been seeing a whole lot of red baiting, as it's called, or McCarthyism. And Jeff Sessions is the latest to be targeted by the Democrats, alleging a Vladimir Putin plot to control the Trump administration, therefore the U.S. government. Now, as much as I don't like Jeff Sessions, and I really, really don't like that man. I mean, I really have nothing good to say about him. I don't like what he stands for. I do not like what he is going to bring in terms of how the Department of Justice operates. But I just cannot use lies and these McCarthyism tactics to bring him down. Now, I know Malcolm X said by any means necessary. And if we're talking behind the scenes, then yes, I'm for any means necessary. But on the air, I have been on these airways for a little over eight years. Been writing, been producing podcasts, been hosting radio programs, and I do consider myself a citizen journalist, even though I do not have a degree in journalism and I'm not employed by anybody's newspaper or any of the obviously big networks, but I'm still consider myself to be a citizen journalist, and I will adhere to the principles of good journalism, even if those in the quote unquote mainstream will not. And so I just can't be down with that. As a citizen journalist, credibility is everything. I mean, to a citizen journalist like myself, my credibility is more important than somebody working for, let's say, the Washington Post or the New York Times. Because most of the people, just because they know those names as established media outlets, newspapers, and what have you, they will automatically attach credibility to the person who writes an article that's published on those platforms. Now, for all, those of us who operate solely on the internet, and not so much just solely on the internet, I actually knew a person who had a little local, I wouldn't even call it a newspaper. I don't know what you would call it, but he would share news in this article. It's sort of like a business paper where people were advertising, you know, like a penny. I think it was called a penny something, penny paper or something like that. But yeah, he did write journalistic articles in there. So, but when you are independent journalist, credibility is everything that you do. And I'm telling you, the Democratic Party does not have any credibility, if they ever had any, but especially after those WikiLeaks, publishings came out showing the internal conversations of people associated with the DNC and with the Hillary Clinton campaign. They don't have any credibility, and they cannot be relied on as a credible source of information concerning this particular matter, especially when in January of 2016, not this year, but what, 13 months ago, no, actually, it would be 15 months ago. When 15 months ago, they were launching the same McCarthyism attacks on Bernie Sanders. Now, I did cover this in a podcast last night, and I want to play it again for those who may have missed it, and I'll just let it speak for itself. Already, Democrats don't like it, as those who are I guess, brainwashed by the Democratic Party to believe any and everything that comes out of the mouth of one of those politicians. You know, they're attacking it, saying, you know, basically, really, they ain't saying nothing credible or anything worth repeating, but they don't like it. They don't like it. They expect black people to just fall in line with the Democrats. And I'm not that guy. I'm not that person. I don't fall in line with anybody, okay, without first giving thought and weighing what it is that they're asking me to do or sign on to. No, I just don't roll that way. All right, so I will play that podcast again, documenting these same sort of attacks, trying to link Bernie Sanders to the Russians. Now, do you think that that's a coincidence that now, you know, they're saying that about the Trump administration when they were saying it 15 months ago about Bernie Sanders? No, this is a bunch of skanky, sore losers who, I don't know what they're trying to do. To be honest, I don't know what their end game is other than to keep their base, their dwindling base, engaged in the process or engaged in the party and make them think that, oh, the Democrats is really fighting for us. No, they not fighting for us. All right. They're fighting for the people that they are beholden to. They ain't fighting for you. They ain't fighting for me. And again, you know, when they're engaging in these sort of tactics, then, you know, I'd rather not, I'd be tied to it. All right. Another story. This is a very sad story, but I just want to bring it to your attention. About 20 years ago, maybe longer, 25 years ago, might have even been 30 years ago, I read a book about deviancy in the Catholic Church. Now, the book, I cannot remember the title of that book. I bet you I still got that book, but I will have to go out to our trailer that we've been using for storage and dig that book out. But I do remember in this book, the bones of, it was talking about the Catholic Church, and it was talking about bones of babies being, or the remains of babies being found on the property of monasteries, of Catholic monasteries in Europe. The book said that these babies were the result of nuns getting pregnant by priests and then, you know, to cover it up, killing the babies and then disposing of their bodies to hide their sexual activity. Again, that's according to that book I read about 20, 25 years ago. Now, a similar story has come out of Ireland, and it does not involve priests getting nuns pregnant and killing the babies and hiding them. It involves a Catholic home for unwed mothers and their children. Again, this is in Ireland. It shut down in 1961. But today it was found, and when I say today, I just mean this time period, this year, it was found to have mass graves of babies and small children on the property. According to this story, this was covered up for decades by the church and local town folk. It was only uncovered when this woman, who is a historian, had heard some things about that, heard rumors, and she investigated it, and she determined that it was to be true. And many people for years said that, oh, she's just pushing conspiracy theories, and these are just rumors, and there's nothing to see here. Move along, folks, nothing to see. And now it turns out to be true, as they have excavated the property and found up to 800 bodies of babies and small children. Just really, really disgusting. Last week on this program, we discussed the issue of immigration, and part of that discussion included the violence that I see in Chicago. And I said last week, this ain't all black people killing other black people. This ain't the quote unquote black on black crime. This is, while some of that is going on, I think that they're leaving out the narrative that these Hispanic gangs are also a part of that violence. So I came across a story today about a MS-13 gang member. Well, it was a couple of them who were in this country without documentation. They kidnapped three teen girls from the ages of 14 to, I think the oldest one was 16, 13, no, excuse me, 14, 15, and 16 were the ages of these three girls that they kidnapped. Now, the girls, that when I say kidnapped, the girls from the story I read were kind of attracted to the gang life and all of that. And these guys ended up taking them to this house and holding them there against their will. And one of the girls was murdered. Now, immigration advocates want to brush these sort of stories under the rug. That has been what I have been observing. Now I'm not going to go out and say things like Donald Trump and saying, you know, all these illegal immigrants are behind some sort of crime wave. But at the same time, I'm not going to ignore the role that they play in committing criminal acts and what have you, as we talked about last week when we listened to that clip of that African-American activist in L.A. And he was talking about how they've been targeting black communities, these Mexican gangs, on the order of their Mexican gang bosses to terrorize black people. And they've been killing them and things of that nature, trying to push them out of Los Angeles or those particular neighborhoods. So that also led me to give this whole issue more thought. But like I said last week, this is not some simple cut and dry black and white issue. It's a complicated issue. Now, I do subscribe to, I don't believe that there should be any borders. When the creator, for those who believe in a creator, created this planet, or however this planet came into being, and people populated this planet, there were not borders. They did not create this planet They did not migrate and create borders. That came later after the creation of so-called nations and what have you. So I was like, you know, nah, I'm not too down with borders and what have you. But again, I try to critically think about things. And as I was involved in a immigration discussion, friend of the program, a friend of the network, made a very interesting point about people, because there are those who are open borders people. They want to eliminate borders and they believe in open borders. But then this person made me think about it more. Now, they said that if the borders was to crumble and what have you, we would have sort of like chaos, and that the rich people, you know, they would just hunker down in their bunkers and all this and that. So that got me on a train of thought, and I thought about that, and I was like, I wonder if these people who say they don't believe in borders, they believe in open borders, do they believe in property lines? Do they own pieces of property, and are they enforcing the boundaries of their property lines? I mean, are they allowing people to just come set up shop on their property? I'm telling you, I wouldn't, and we don't, okay? So that just made me think, you know, we all are entitled to change our mind as we acquire more information. I'm still not saying I'm changing my mind, but I'm looking at it from that perspective. If you claim that we shouldn't have borders, do you own property? And are you enforcing your property lines, or are you just letting people just come and go on your property as they please, you know, set up shop, homestead, and all that good stuff on your property? All right, so just something to think about. But yeah, I want to share that story with you. Now, if I have time, and I'm going to try to make time. Time goes by so fast, you know, 2 hours. I got 2 hours to discuss all this. And then I also want to make time for callers. But if I have time, I want to discuss confusion among counter racists, which I do consider myself to. Well, I don't know if I want to be labeled a counter racist or if I want to be labeled anti-racist, because countering something is not necessarily working towards eliminating something. So again, you know, words are important. And when I look up the definition of words, you know, we need to stick to these definitions and not make up new definitions. This is what let me go ahead and put it out there like this. I want to discuss confusion among counter races, which are supposed to be working to eliminate confusion. After being trolled today by a counter racist who did not like me using the term institutional racism in a math problem that I made up. And the math problem that I made up goes like this. White people is one variable. The other variable is Y equals institutional racism. So again, here is my math problem for you, if y'all want to answer that. White people plus Y. Y is an unknown variable equals institutional racism. What is Y? Now, this person trolled my page because I chose to use the term institutional racism instead of using the term white supremacy. And I specifically chose institutional racism in this math problem because of its specific definition. Okay. And so what I was aiming for is to, how do we eliminate institutional racism? Because I don't believe you can eliminate racism out of an individual. If an individual believes in white supremacy, which is a religion, anything that you believe in that you have no proof or evidence to back it up and you're just going off of faith, I'm gonna call that a religion. Because you don't have any evidence. You believe. And shout out to Justice Radio, Brother Tahuti. I really like that program. And he really makes me think about things. And he says, you know, a belief versus knowing. When I know something, that means I know a fact. But when I believe something, that means I don't have any facts. He didn't say it exactly like that. I'm paraphrasing it. But the gist is the same. Belief versus facts. All right. So I don't believe that you can And I could be wrong. That's why I'm using the word believe. But I don't believe you can eliminate the racism that lives in the heart of man. Okay? I just don't think you can do it. Maybe somebody may come up with some kind of brainwashing program or something like that, and they can eliminate racism in a person. But I still believe there will always be racists. Okay? As long as there's people of different skin colors, different ethnicities, you're always going to have racists. All right? But this person trolled me. And when I say troll, that means they were being antagonistic. They were insinuating that I was dumb, that I don't know what I'm talking about, because they always, this same person, I ended up blocking them today. I try to be patient with this person, but when you just posting stupid little memes that say, if you don't understand white supremacy, everything else will only confuse you. That ain't no answer. That ain't contributing to no conversation. That's basically telling the person that they're dumb and stupid and they don't know what they're talking about. It's the same thing. It's name calling. Okay, it's the same thing. And so I finally blocked this person because this person is not constructive. All they like to do is squabble and troll the pages of Black Talk Radio and troll me personally whenever I try to have a conversation or dialogue with people on these issues. So this person then tried to redefine the definition of racism from that which is in the dictionary and has been in the dictionary. I don't know how long racism has been a word and how long it's been in the dictionary. The dictionary is where you find the definition of words. You can also find them in thesauruses or encyclopedias and what have you. You can find the definition of words. This person wanted to redefine the definition of racism from that which is in the dictionary and has been there for quite some time. Now, this led me to think about that. And it led me to the following confusion. The only way that you get to make up new definitions of words is to create new words. You do not get to change the definition of existing words from what they are in the dictionary or an encyclopedia. Making up definitions for existing words leads to confusion among the masses, and it will lead to squabbling and all kinds of non-constructive activity. There's nothing more time wasting than having a conversation with someone who just makes up stuff as they go along. And so if I have time, I'll go into more of that later. If you have a question or comment about that, if you want to answer the math problem, you can give us a call and I certainly will be interested in hearing what you have to say. So what is the math problem? The math problem is white people. That's one variable. Plus Y, which is the unknown variable, equals institutional racism. It is my belief, again, I don't know for sure, it's not a fact, but it is my belief that if we can figure out what Y is, that we can end institutional racism. And institutional racism, by the way, is defined as government institutions, schools, businesses, entities like that, where they have a policy that practices racism or mistreats people, denies them services based on their skin color. That's institutional racism. That is where we're talking about institutions, not individuals. All right. So let me jump to the first story that I would like to bring to your attention. This is the main topic, about Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Let me open up this article. I have linked to all of the stories that I am sharing with you on blacktalkradionetworks.com for BTR News program for tonight. This is an article that comes to you from marieclaire.com. It was written by a person by the name of Erica Pisdadian. I think that's how you pronounce her name. It was shared almost 40,000 times. And this is the headline, and people in their headlines, I tell you, Jeff Sessions deals a blow to Black Lives Matter. the Attorney General just announced a giant reversal of DOJ policy. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced a major policy change that will likely have broad and real consequences for people of color around the country. At a meeting of state attorneys general on Tuesday, Sessions said that the Justice Department would, quote unquote, pull back on the federal scrutiny of police departments for civil rights violations against people of color. Jeff Sessions said on Tuesday, rather than dictating to local police how to do their jobs or spending scarce federal resources to sue them in court, we should use our money, research, and expertise to help them figure out what is happening and determine the best ways to fight crime. So, Jeff Sessions is telling you he ain't concerned about the crime that is committed against the people behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. by slave catchers. Okay. And slave catchers do commit crimes. I subscribe to, what is it? TheDrugWar.com. I think I forget the name of it. But where they print, corrupt cop stories every week. You get cops busted for dealing drugs. You get cops busted for raping people on the job. You all kind of manner of crimes, committing murder, committing fraud, all kind of manner of crimes. But Jeff Sessions, the new Attorney General of USA Inc., doesn't think that these police should be facing any kind of scrutiny for violating the rights of the people. Now, this has led me to come to the conclusion that if this is going to be his policy, he is going to, of course, get more people killed. And let me distinguish between the people I'm talking about. This is going to lead to possibly an uptick in the killing of citizens. And I'm not just going to limit it to people of color, because all people of all different racial classifications under this racialized system are being killed by cops. That's just a fact. That's not a belief. That's a fact. All right. So I'm not just going to focus on black men, or just focus on Hispanic women or Asians. No, I'm focusing on people being killed by slave catchers in this country. That's all I should be talking about. I shouldn't color code it or anything like that. All right. Not if my intent is to practice justice. All right. So, I think this is going to lead to slave catchers developing this attitude that, oh, now we gonna get to do what we want, and we ain't got to worry about somebody in the federal government looking over our shoulders or investigating us for robbing people of their life, liberty, and property, as we saw in Ferguson. Based on the Ferguson report that the FBI and Department of Justice launched after the murder of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. When you read that Ferguson report, you see all manner of crime. It even talks about federal laws being violated, where they were just targeting black people, poor black people, targeting them, writing tickets. This is a racketeering. This is what was going on in Ferguson and probably still going on. And I know it's going on all over this country. As we know, cops have quotas to write tickets to generate revenue. It ain't about solving crime. It's about bringing in revenue. Okay. And so I expect to see more of that. I expect to see more of the citizens being preyed upon by these slave catchers and tax collectors, because that's the way I look at tickets as being an extra way for them to levy taxes on people. All right. So I think it will lead to more citizens being killed as the the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions, is basically telling them, hey, do whatever you want to do. We are not in the business to tell you how to do your jobs. We are not going to spend any resources to train you on how to do your job. We won't take you to court when you've been violating citizens' rights. We won't spend any money on that. Okay. It's going to lead to more people getting killed. Already we got over 1,000 U.S. citizens. Well, some of them not citizens, but we already got over 1,000 people. Let me go to killed by police right quick and give you the update. KilledByPolice.net. What are they up to? Already we're in March. They're on pace to kill 100 people a month. 225 people have been killed by police. Now, I'm not saying all of these were unjustified. You know, if you pull out a gun and you go to, you know, to shoot somebody and I expect you to get shot. Okay. Unless, you know, it's a self-defense, situation. All right. So I'm not talking about bank robbers and kidnappers and stuff like that getting caught in the commission of a crime and resisting and end up getting killed. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people like Mike Brown, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland. I'm talking about people like that. What's the little white boy name down there in South Carolina that got murdered by that slave catcher? I can't remember his name. I'm not talking about people like that. That's who I'm talking about. All right. So they're on track to kill 1,200 people, this year. And I believe last year, I don't see it readily available for last year's statistics. Let me see. No, that's January. They killed 105 in January. How many did they kill in February? They killed 112 in February. And so far in March, we're just 4 days into March, and we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people already killed. All right, so that's 2 people a day that's being killed. That's just far too many. Don't nobody else, no other citizens in no other country is getting killed like this every day by the popo, by the slave catchers. It's just not happening. And so I expect these numbers to rise because of what he said. All right, here's 2015. 2016. How many did they kill in 2016? They killed 1,154 people in 2016. That's more than was killed when I was in the Gulf War, in a war zone. I think less than 50 people were killed during the Gulf War. When I say people, I'm talking about American soldiers were killed. That's more Americans being killed here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. And again, that's why I call it behind the enemy lines. That's more Americans being killed right here in this place than being killed in war zones around the world. I don't know why this is acceptable to so many people. It's just unacceptable to me. And apparently it's acceptable to the new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Now, something else that he said that he is going to do is let me back up. Remember I mentioned the headline, Black Lives Matter, Jeff Sessions deals a blow to Black Lives Matter. Now, I don't know why this person, Erica Pishdadian, is focusing on Black Lives Matter, but how is this going to affect an organization? How is it going to affect that organization? It's going to affect people, not that organization. All right? Now, I think they possibly mean that, the Black Lives Matter push the Obama administration into investigating these police, and I wouldn't give all that credit to BLM. I just simply wouldn't. A number of organizations, whether they were organizations, formal organizations that have 501c3s, registered nonprofits, or whether they're just ordinary people in a collective that came together in their community to oppose this stuff and to demand civil rights investigations. All right. So for Jeff Sessions to say something like that, he is actually in violation of standing policy. Whenever there is investigative journalism going on and they report widespread reports of civil rights violations by any institution, that is enough. That meets the criteria for the Justice Department to open up an investigation. Jeff Sessions telling you they won't do it. They are not going to do it. If this man should be removed from that position for anything, it's for this statement right here. He can't do his job. He is biased. He is prejudiced. He is not being an objective arbitrator of the law. He is clearly indicating that he has taken a side on this issue, and that side is the side of the slave catcher. Because it goes on to say, Session is referring to the Obama-era policy of launching civil rights investigations into troubled police departments involved in the killings of unarmed minorities. Now, reading that, you would think that the Obama administration, talking about the Department of Justice, which at one time was under Eric Holder and the second administration was under Loretta Lynn, you would think they were just launching these investigations out of the blue on their own. With nobody filing complaints. Okay? The Obama administration had to be pushed into investigating the murder of Trayvon Martin. They had to be pushed into that. They had to be pushed into investigating Baltimore. They had to be pressured into investigating Ferguson. They just didn't up and do these things on their own. Oh, I saw something on the news and let me call Loretta Lynch and tell her to open up an investigation. No, that ain't how it works. Somebody has to file a complaint. Somebody has to present evidence in a complaint. And then the Department of Justice comes in and investigates. So let's not say this was an Obama policy. No, this was the Department of Justice doing its job like it's supposed to do its job according to the protocols that's in place. Now, again, like I said, they go on to say, though he did not directly address Black Lives Matter movement in his speech. Now, what are you talking about? The policy change undoubtedly puts a new roadblock in BLM's path. Again, just like the NAACP, the Urban League, or any of these other organizations that say that they represent Black people, Black Lives Matter don't speak for all Black people. They don't represent all Black people. I'm very down with some of the chapter presidents like Brother Mujahideen Dabaha, who was just on New Abolitionist Radio. That's the brother that's the chapter president of Charleston, South Carolina. I'm down with the brother. But them other people that's over there national, you know, I was on their website today reading some of the stuff. And all this stuff about transgendered and pushing Black heterosexual Black males, making us look like we're the enemy or something like that. And all these past movements been led by heterosexual Black males as if there were no Black women involved in these movements and leading some of these movements, you know. But they're pushing this and that. So I'm not down with everything that they are standing for. And everything that they're trying to push, I'm just simply not down. And I take umbrage to anybody in the media trying to act like these people speak for us. I wouldn't even say that as a leader of an organization, a nonprofit myself, Black Talk Media Project, and the founder of Black Talk Radio Network. I don't speak for everybody that's on this network. People are entitled to their own opinions, their own views. They're just not entitled to their own facts, but they can express whatever they want to express. I do not speak for them. Some of them may be clients. Some of them may be people I'm just helping because they asked me for some help, relying on my expertise or whatnot. But I don't speak for them. I don't speak for every independent Black media outlet out there. And so neither do these organizations. All right. So this is also, in my opinion, possibly going to lead to more slave catchers getting shot down as well in the streets. This man is trying to, now I'm not going to try say that he started a war. The war's been raging for hundreds of years. All right. And the police department have been waging war on non-white people in this country since the first police department was created in the 1800s. And it's made up of former slave patrollers, slave catchers, and what have you. So, you know, I just want to be clear on that. But I think he's going to cause an escalation of this war, and you are going to start seeing more cops getting killed. Because let me quote a racist cracker, JFK. Let me pull up his quote so I get it right. Those who prevent peaceful revolution, and you cannot say Black Lives Matter has been promoting violence or anything like that, because they have not, even though the mainstream media and a bunch of slave catchers have been trying to portray them that way. They have been nothing but peaceful in their demonstrations. They ain't called for nobody to kill slave catchers or anything like that. But here is a quote from the racist cracker, John F. Kennedy. I know some of y'all think he was a good man. And again, I would point you to the fact that I believe that there are no good people, period. Ain't no good people. We all fall short. Okay. We all are flawed, and we all have a propensity to do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. So I don't believe in the term of good people. What's a good person? I don't know. But JFK said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Perhaps somebody need to shoot that quote over there to Attorney General Jeff Sessions. I would tweet it at him. I would email this quote to him, but he'll probably try to frame me saying that I've threatened people, I threaten him, or I threaten to do something to slave catchers out there. So I'm not going to be stupid, and I'm not going to set myself up and get these crackers a rope to hang me with. So y'all can just tell him what I said. They probably listening anyway. All right. So those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. That is what Jeff Sessions is doing. If people follow the protocol that was laid out by the U.S. government, when slave catchers or police are violating your rights, when they're violating your Bill of Rights, violating your constitutional rights, here is the process for you to get a redress of your grievances. You file a report, a complaint with evidence, with your supporting evidence, with the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice will then initiate an investigation. Now, obviously, it's going to be at their discretion, but it'd be pretty hard for them to ignore a lot of people saying the same thing and backing such a complaint. All right. Jeff Sessions saying he's shutting that process down entirely. So people going to see, all right, I'm filing these complaints. These slave catchers are out of control. They're gunning down people in the streets. They're robbing people. Oh, they're planting dope on people. They're just, oh man, they just really, 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 really going over and beyond what we're used to. Okay. And so let us go ahead and gather our evidence. Let's get these news reports. Put in the Freedom of Information Act request. Let's gather the statistics and let's file a complaint and have the Department of Justice investigate and come to a conclusion and come up with a remedy to this problem. Jeff Sessions saying no more. That ain't going to happen no more. So if people cannot get relief from the abuse of the police state from the federal government, and that's like an oxymoron. I understand that, but just for the sake of argument, if they can't get relief from their local police state by doing what you said, peacefully, gathering evidence, peacefully, filing complaints, if that's taken away from them, what do you think is going to happen? Dallas is what's going to happen. Baton Rouge is what's going to happen. New York City is what's going to happen. All right? You're going to see these slave catchers targeted by people who are fed up, who tried to do it the peaceful way. But you made the peaceful revolution impossible, so now they're going to turn to violence. This is what Jeff Sessions is condemning people to in this country, by telling them that we don't care what the police do to you. We don't care how many rights they violate. We don't care. We ain't going to do nothing about it. This is tell somebody present a counter argument to me and show me where I'm wrong. That in essence, this is what this man is saying. People being sick and tired. People get frustrated. They try every avenue that the government says they should do. And then when you have people in the positions of government telling you that they don't care what happens to you, that these police can do anything they want, we're not going to investigate, then guess what? You have just signed the death warrant of slave catchers, Jeff Sessions. That's what you have done. You have just signaled to people that they have no recourse for a redress of their grievances from their own government. Somebody tell me I'm interpreting what he's saying wrong. Am I wrong to interpret this way? I don't think so. I thought about this. I just didn't just coming off the top of my head with this stuff. I analyzed what he said, and this is my conclusion. And it don't take much analyzing on my part, because he's straight up telling you. He's straight up telling you. And he bringing the state attorney generals in to let them know, to give them a similar message. You can operate just like us. You ain't got to investigate them police when they violating civil rights. If you get some complaints, you are under no obligation to investigate them. That's what he's saying to the attorney generals across this nation. And I could be wrong, but I have not heard not a single attorney general speak up and speak out against this policy. This is not what justice looks like. This is what racism looks like. This is what institutional racism looks like. The Department of Justice is an institution, part of the United States government. They are practicing racism because they are specifically talking about investigating or not investigating police departments for violating the rights of people of so-called color. This is exhibit number one of what institutional racism looks like. Now, tell you, time goes by so fast. Let me check the board, see if we have any questions or comments. All right, none at the moment. So let me continue. Now, what else can we expect from this racist cracker? All right, a ramping up of slave catching in this country. This man is ignoring science. He is ignoring all of the medical studies that have been done, some of them done here and some of them done abroad, mostly in Europe, and that show cannabis, the plant, treats many different ailments. It's been shown to be a good remedy for arthritis, for glaucoma, when people get cataracts, also as a painkiller, an appetite stimulator, you know, as people who undergo chemo, cancer treatments and whatnot, they undergo those chemo treatments and they lose their appetite, and you have to eat in order to keep your strength up. And so they prescribe cannabis to these people because cannabis does what? It gives you the munchies. It makes you want to eat. These are all scientific facts that have been established in the medical community, okay? And there has been more research done that shows that cannabis, you know, the country is in a heroin epidemic or opioid epidemic right now, and it has shown this research that he is going, you're going to hear him talk about here shortly, Mock really is what he's doing, shows that cannabis can help people get off of opioids, you know, lessen their withdrawal symptoms and what have you. This guy is ignoring all of this science just because they want to fill the prisons up, and especially the private prisons. All right. And now he's recirculating or recycling a disproven myth that cannabis use makes people violent. Now, I have interviewed former cops. I'll just stick to the cops. I've interviewed former cops who have been out there in the field, who have, you know, answered these calls. These cops are associated, or former cops are associated with law enforcement against prohibition. They are looking for the legalization of all drugs to end the drug war because it don't work. All right. And they said that when they came upon a situation, they got these domestic violence calls and what have you, and a person got violent with them, it was 9 times out of 10 a person who had been consuming alcohol. 9 times out of 10 it was a person consuming alcohol. One of them told me that they didn't have those issues with people smoking cannabis because cannabis mellows you out, sort of makes you passive and what have you. Here, this old racist slaver, because that's what he is, now he's the top slave catcher in the country, he's recycling this disproven myth that pot makes people violent. He's taking it back to the, what was that propaganda film they made in the 30s? Reefer Madness. Propaganda film that was funded, financed, and created by a person who was working for the federal government during alcohol prohibition. Well, after alcohol prohibition ended, they started to criminalize cannabis because these people would have been out of a job. So he produced this propaganda film saying, oh, all these people using cannabis is making them crazy, turning them into psychopathic killers and what have you. Purely fiction, not fact. And their policy, government policy was being made off of fiction. This is what Jeff Sessions is doing now. Making policy off of propaganda going all the way back to the 1930s. Let's go ahead and listen to this United States top slave catcher.
I'm dubious about marijuana. As states, I get, can pass whatever laws they choose, but I'm not sure we're going to be a better, healthier nation that if we have marijuana being sold at every corner grocery store. I just don't think that's going to be good for us. And we'll have to work our way through that. I'd see a line in the Washington Post today that I remember from the 80s. This one was, if you smoke, you know, marijuana is a cure for opiate abuse. Give me a break. I mean, you know, this is the kind of argument that has been made out there, to just almost a desperate attempt to defend the harmlessness of marijuana or even its benefits. I doubt that's true. Maybe science will prove I'm wrong, but at this point in time, you and I have a responsibility to use our best judgment, that which we've learned over a period of years, and speak truth as best we can. My best view is that we don't need to be legalizing marijuana, and we need to crack down more effectively on heroin. And
okay, so that is his comments, and again, he's exaggerating. There in the states that have legalized cannabis, there is not cannabis being sold on every grocery store corner. Like, you can go in and buy Boone's Farm wine or some version of, or beer or something like that. All right. So no, in those states, you have to have a license. It is strictly regulated and you will not find it being sold in the corner store. So this man is a liar again. Relying on propaganda and what have you. And so I just looked it up. Could marijuana help treat painkiller and heroin addiction? This comes to you from CBS News. Let's see what they have to say. All right. The growing number of patients who claim cannabis has helped them drop their painkiller habit has intrigued lawmakers and emboldened advocates. Many are pushing for cannabis as a treatment for the abuse of opioids and illegal narcotics such as heroin and as alternative to painkillers. It's a tempting sell in New England, hard hit by painkiller and heroin crisis, but there's a problem. There's very little research showing cannabis works as a treatment for such addictions. Advocates argue a growing body of scientific literature supports the idea, pointing to a study in the Journal of Pain this year that found that chronic pain sufferers significantly reduced their opioid use when taking medical cannabis. Another study published last year in the Journal of American Medical Association found cannabis can be effective in treating chronic pain and other ailments. So what we're dealing with is deception. It is not being alleged that cannabis cures addiction to heroin. No, what it's saying is instead of these doctors who have been blamed for this opioid addiction crisis, for overprescribing these pharmaceutical legal opioid drugs, that they have caused this widespread addiction. And when people can't get those drugs no more, they turn to heroin. All right. And so what they're saying is cannabis is an effective treatment for pain. So instead of prescribing people all these painkillers, like what's the one, Oxycontin, which is highly addictive, instead of treating people's pain with Oxycontin, prescribe them cannabis to manage their pain, which has shown as an effective treatment. So what we're dealing with is deception in the use of words. That is, people did not say using cannabis would cure people of their addiction to heroin. But to be honest with you, using critical thinking, it stands to reason that a person could wean themselves off of harder drugs by taking something like cannabis. Now, don't forget that wasn't that long ago that I reported that there's this other plant that is grown in, I think it's, where was it grown? In Vietnam. And those people in Vietnam use this drug, and it's a plant. It has drug properties. So they're using it in plant form. They grind it up, use it in a tea or something like that. And they have been using it to treat pain and other stuff. And so people heard that this can also help you with your heroin addiction. And they had been ordering this plant. Again, this is a plant that you can order. All right. Had no kind of classification whatsoever. Just a plant that grows in the forests of Vietnam somewhere. So people started importing that plant here to the United States to help wean themselves off of heroin. What did the DA do? Move to criminalize and prohibit this plant. I.e., when I found out about it, I signed the petitions that were circulating. I wrote my own senators and what have you. And my senator, the senator over the district that I'm in wrote me back agreeing that this was a draconian move by the DEA to classify this plant without even opening it up to public comment or taking any kind of testimony or evidence and just classifying this as a Schedule I drug. And they had to reverse that. Well, now that Jeff Sessions in there, they're probably going to put it back. Prohibit this plant that people were using to get themselves off of heroin. And I do remember now if this was true, but I remember reading Malcolm X biography and watching the movie. Malcolm X used to be a heroin addict, right? When he was in jail, and they gave him this little drink that had nutmeg in it, saying that nutmeg helped them lessen their withdrawal symptoms from heroin. That's nutmeg, right? Another made from what? A plant. So they were using, I think this particular plant is called Khartoum or something like that. This seems to show, according to the people who use it, similar properties in helping wean people off of heroin. This man don't care about nobody. He don't care. All this man care about is maintaining slavery and institutional racism in this country. That's all he is about. And he mentioned state rights. Yeah, they talk about state rights when it's convenient to them. Now, they want to allow states right now to write laws that would prohibit so-called transgender people from using the bathroom of their choice in Fort, like the state I live in. They wrote a law that says you must use the bathroom that's on your birth certificate. Now the Trump administration and the attorney general, the Department of Justice is saying, oh, states, that's state law issue. That's a state issue. Let the states, we are not going to challenge that law. We're not going to sue them in court and say this violates the Constitution or anything like that. States' rights. Then how come when he talking about, well, if these states want to legalize cannabis, I guess, blah, 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 blah. They plan to go after these people who run these legal marijuana dispensaries. I shouldn't use the word marijuana. It's racist. It has a racist root in this country. But running these cannabis dispensaries and what have you, now they want to go and arrest them and start locking up people and targeting people. That's what's going on here. It is about maintaining slavery. And you gotta, under this current system, you gotta first convict people of crime before you can put them into slavery. It's not like slavery of pre-1865 where you could just go to the market and buy a slave, a victim of slavery, I should say. You know, somebody who's been kidnapped. Whether they was kidnapped on this continent or kidnapped from other continents, you know, that was how you were able to enslave people. You just go and capture them, kidnap them. See, now they outlawed that sort of slavery in the United States. Now, according to the 13th Amendment, you have to convict them of a crime first. Then you can put them into slavery. So then immediately following the passage of the 13th Amendment, what did they do? Start coming up with stuff they call black codes, right? Where they can then lock you up, charge you with vagrancy. Oh, you homeless? Oh, you ain't got nowhere to go after you left the plantation? You should have stayed on the plantation as a sharecropper. Didn't nobody tell you to be wandering around and all that? You're a vagrant. We're going to lock you up. We're going to put you in jail, and then we're going to hire you out and put you to work as a slave on the railroad and in these mines, or put you on a plantation and start harvesting cotton or whatever else we tell you to harvest. That is what these drug laws represent, people. You don't have the right to tell another person what they can and cannot consume. You can tell them you shouldn't do this because it'll have that impact on you if you do, but you don't get to put them into slavery because you disapprove of the substances that they use to alter their state of mind or to relax or to treat pain. You don't get to put them into slavery and then act like you helping them, like you doing this for the good of the public. No, you doing this to maintain slavery. That's all I got to say on this matter. I think this man is going to get more people killed, including slave catchers, because he's already sending a signal to people. Y'all can abuse people all you want to abuse them. You ain't got to worry about the Department of Justice investigating you or spending any kind of money to take you to court for violating people's civil rights. It's a free for all. Have at it. All right. Well, it's some people out here who going to say, you know what? Since the gloves are off, then guess what? Dallas, Baton Rouge, New York City, or where, or any of these stories that you, Pennsylvania, any of these stories where you have seen people specifically target cops for assassination. That's what Jeff Sessions obviously wants to happen in the streets. Instead of operating on the rule of law, he wants it to be the law of the jungle out there in the streets. Don't be surprised if you get your wish, Jeff Sessions, and you will have nobody to blame and nobody to point to except for yourself in this statement that you just put out to attorney generals and everybody else behind these enemy lines. I'm going to take a station identification break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast this program live every Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. If you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056. Hit star to put yourself in the queue for comments and questions, and we'll come to you. I'll be right back after this break. Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, my name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Do want to remind you that Black Talk Radio Network, the platform, is supported in part by donations to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. You can find the services and the help that we offer people who want to get into new media production at blacktalkmediaproject.org. We got t-shirts that say Black Radio Stations Matter. For as low as $11, you can get a small t-shirt for as low as $11. So, we got, small, medium, large, extra large, and extra, extra large. So, please make a donation. Independent media, period, is under assault in this country. And the only way that we can survive is by those who consume the media that we produce. Also, do want to tell you We have btrcommunity.com, which is a new online black social experience. It's a social network that was set up for the listeners of Black Talk Radio Network. It is ad free, meaning you won't see any kind of advertisement or anything like that on the site or on the platform. The way that we pay for the platform and the resources that it uses is by issuing subscriptions, and you can get a subscription for as little as $24 a year. That is btrcommunity.com, a new online black social experience. Now, I want to move on, and I'm going to stay on Sessions, but again, in the interest of truth and justice, in the interest of being a credible source of information, and yes, I do consider myself a credible source of information because I research. I just don't come on here and say stuff just for the sake of saying it. I do my research. I present you with several sources, and you know, I link to my sources. And if I put out wrong information, I'll come back and I will let you know, hey, I got fooled just like you. You know, sorry, but that was wrong what I said. All right. So anyway. Jeff Sessions, you might have noticed, has been the latest to be targeted by the Democrats, pushing this McCarthyism of the 1950s during this current period. Look up McCarthyism if you don't know what it was. A victim of McCarthyism for our audience was the black civil rights activist Paul Robeson. Look up Paul Robeson, who was a member of the Communist Party. And during the McCarthy era, that Senator Joe McCarthy, they had this witch hunt to where they were violating people's rights, their civil rights, their human rights, and their constitutional rights by saying, oh, they subscribe to communism and all. Well, wait a minute. Ain't this a free country? It ain't like we doing something trying to overthrow this country, but ain't this supposed to be a free country? I should be able to join any kind of party I want to join as long as that party is not engaged in activity that's harming people. You know, like I hear Dave say on Tando Radio, you know, my sovereignty ends where another person's beginning. Not my sovereignty. I made the same mistake, Dave, you know, but my freedom ends, my freedom and liberty ends where another person's begins. So this is what we're seeing right now. Stuff from the 1950s Cold War era. And Jeff Sessions is the latest one to be targeted by that. Now, he was asked in a in his confirmation hearings by the former Saturday Night Live comedian, what is it with us that we choose celebrity figureheads all the time to represent us? But what's that guy name? He's in Minnesota now. I can't remember his name. It's not really important. But he asked the question, did you meet with any Russians in relation to the Trump campaign? And Jeff Sessions said no. He technically was being truthful, because the question was centered upon him meeting with Russians in relation to the Trump campaign. But did he meet with Russians? Yes, he did. He was a U.S. senator. Okay. He sits on the Senate Armed Services Intelligence Committee, and those people on that committee meet with foreign dignitaries, meet with ambassadors, and things of that nature during the course of their duties. And let's not act like that's such a big deal when you got people like, what's his name, Benjamin Netanyahu, coming over here, meeting with members of Congress, meeting with senators and congressmen behind closed doors, meeting with Donald Trump to do what? To lobby on behalf of Israel, all right? Now, how come nobody talking about the undue influence that the Israelis have over the U.S. government? All right. How come nobody's talking about AIPAC controlling the U.S. government or people who are in the U.S. government? Now, all of a sudden, it's a Russian problem. Now we want to refight the Cold War. But look, this was all manufactured. This was all plotted out to eliminate Hillary Clinton's opponents. And right now, since she lost, because millennials, for the most part, are not like their parents, like these baby boomers who and I'm not painting them all with the same brush, but the ones I have heard that's involved in politics who blame baby boomers for not voting for Hillary Clinton. Well, look, those millennials for not falling for the lies of Hillary Clinton. Well, maybe they ain't got a problem with voting for unethical liars and such people who have been involved in unethical criminal deeds and what have you, who don't like black people or what. Maybe these millennials will not compromise their values like you will. Or maybe you don't have any values or principles. You just say you do. You're like those people who smoke and drink in front of their kids and then try to lecture their children on the dangers of smoking and drinking. So y'all baby boomers need to let up off of these millennials and blaming them for Hillary Clinton losing. Hillary Clinton is responsible for the actions of Hillary Clinton and actions of her campaign. That's why she lost. Okay? Now, I made a podcast about this because I was listening to Race Treaty last night, and it was a great program. Vicki Willis hosted last night, a beautiful black sister out of the Chicago area, and they were talking about, the topic was culture and education as a human right. And it just got me to thinking about college education as a human right. Just like all of them people in Europe, they get to go to college and the government pays for it. They go to a 4-year university and the government pays for it. It's considered a human right. You have a right to higher education as a human being. And I had just never heard of anyone put it in that context. And it is actually in the Declaration of Human Rights that the UN put out, that all of these different nations sign on to. All right. So then I'll remember that, hey, Bernie Sanders was talking about free tuition, just the tuition. He didn't say that the government was going to pay for your books or pay for your room and board or anything like that. Just pay for your tuition. All right. Which for some reason continues to rise every year to where people can't even afford it no more. And they are going into tremendous debt just to get a college education. Well, what was the Hillary Clinton campaign and all her surrogates and useful idiots out there was saying when Bernie Sanders said that, hey, I got this proposal, free tuition at public colleges and universities, the government's going to pay for it, and we're going to pay for it by raising the taxes on billionaires and multimillionaires. All right, had a plan to pay for it. What did they start saying? Oh, this is socialism. This is communism. Bernie Sanders a socialist. Look at this picture of him with not Hugo Chavez, with Fidel Castro. You know, they got free college in Cuba. We don't want to be like Cuba. Those are communists and what have you. I mean, even black people were saying that. And I'm like, and you talk about trying to get some kind of reparations from the U.S. government, but now you're worried about how the U.S. government is going to pay for free tuition to public colleges and universities. Why are you letting these crackers control your mind like that? You know black people will benefit from it. Now look at the state of the HBCUs. Happen to go to this cracker begging for help. All right. So I made a podcast about it. I was reminded of that. What you're seeing now is not something that they just launched against Donald Trump. They did this against Bernie Sanders. And I documented it in a podcast last night. If you weren't able to see it, I'm going to play it for you now. Let me go ahead and pull it up. Scotty Reed here with a Black Talk Radio News Report. And in this particular report, I want to talk about the McCarthyism that we are seeing from the Democrats. I have never seen so many people brainwashed and misinformed when it comes to what is going on in the political arena right now with all of this red baiting and trying to connect the Trump administration or members of the Trump administration to some nefarious plot hatched by the Russians to interfere in the 2016 elections. I was watching PBS earlier today. I think the guy's name, there's two white men that they have on that give commentary. I think it's Brooks and Shields. And I'm not particularly sure which one it was. I think it was the guy Shields. But he's mentioned on there that over 17 U.S. intelligence agencies have said that the Russians interfered in the 2016 elections. And that's just a flat out lie, but that's what I am accustomed to seeing in mainstream media. 17 so-called intelligence agencies of the United States government have not said conclusively, without a doubt, or shown the American people any kind of evidence that the Russians interfered in the 2016 election. And mind you, that all of this hinges on the corruption of the DNC and cheating Bernie Sanders, and thus cheating those who donated to the Sanders campaign. And that's why they find themselves facing a lawsuit right now in the federal courts. They have really been engaged in a lot of red baiting, and I think it's ridiculous. And for the mainstream media to, well, I'm not surprised they do what they do. Do your research on the mainstream media. I don't know why so many people want to come to the defense of the mainstream media, except they don't know the history of the mainstream media. Please look up Operation Mockingbird. But I want to talk about, this is an article that was posted in BTR Community, which is our social media platform for our radio network, Black Talk Radio. And as you can see from the headline, Democratic Representative Maxine Waters says that such Sessions, they're talking about Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, Russian connections will lead to a Trump impeachment. Listen, all this is red baiting and red meat for the Democratic base. The Democratic Party is imploding over its decision to run a corrupt primary, thus cheating Bernie Sanders out of a fair shot at gaining the nomination. We also saw some nefarious activities on behalf of the Obama-Clinton cabal in denying the DNC chairmanship to Keith Ellison, engaging in Muslim bigotry, making false accusations that he hates Jews and things of that nature. And then we even heard from a member of the Democratic Party who said that you had big donors who represent Israel. They could be Americans and have dual citizenship, but said that if Keith Ellison, one, became the DNC chairman, that they were going to stop donating. I thought the Democratic Party was all supposed to be about getting money out of politics. Obviously, that is a lie, as they have failed to make that a part of any kind of official platform about not accepting money from these big corporations and big money donors. So a lot of hypocrisy going on with the Democratic Party. But let's get back to this whole McCarthyism era that the Democratic Party has taken us back to, talking about a Trump impeachment. Look, the Republicans control the Senate and they control the House. If you think that the Republicans are about to allow one of their own to be impeached, then you got another thing coming to you. You're surely naive, to say the least. And I don't care if Lindsey Graham and John McCain is saying those sort of things. These are establishment folks, okay? And they see Trump sort of as anti-establishment, although, you know, I don't see how he is. Seems to me that he is for the order of the day, which is racism, white supremacy. But again, as an objective journalist, I cannot allow my personal feelings to get in the way of my reporting, like we see a lot of in so-called mainstream journalism today. Well, anyway, on Thursday, this was yesterday, you had Maxine Waters, on there talking this stuff about Trump impeachment and what have you. And it's just not going to happen. But we continue to see these false allegations being made. What's his name again? Jeff Beauregard Sessions. Look, I want to see this man lose his job. I most certainly do. This is an old drug war warrior. He is not too friendly to minority voting rights. So I do want to see him removed from that position. But at the same time, I just cannot, as a objective journalist, push lies to our listening audience and to our viewers of this sort. I mean, I can't do it, period. Not of this sort. I misspoke there, but I just will not engage in lying to those who turn to us for information. And I, tonight on Black Talk Radio Network, there was a broadcast of Race Treaty, and they were talking about human rights and culture and education as human rights. And it just reminded me that during the Democratic primary, there was an attack on Bernie Sanders and his proposal to make public colleges and universities tuition free. Please check out that broadcast of Race Treaty, which was on at 9:00 p.m. Eastern tonight. The podcast is up. You'll find it at blacktalkradionetwork.com. But I was just reminded of the tactics that were used to disparage Bernie Sanders' proposal that we have free college and universities. And again, when I say free, I mean free tuition at public colleges and universities. And he even came up with a tax proposal that show you how to pay for it. And how was this portrayed? How was this proposal portrayed by the Clinton camp? As socialism, as communism. More red baiting. I mean, it was just really disgusting to hear particularly black folks repeating those talking points from the Democratic Party, talking about people just want a handout and this, that, and the other. When you look at Europe, and these are capitalist countries, they can say socialism, they can say communism, but we had these capitalist countries in Europe that provide free tuition at their colleges and universities. And tonight I learned that that is actually a human right according to the United Nations and the Declaration of Human Rights. Education should not just be paid for or stop at at the 12th grade, as we have public education is paid for K through 12. And it should include a 4-year college education as well. And I certainly was behind Bernie Sanders' proposal for that. But it just reminded me that this red baiting that we're seeing as the Clinton camp shows that they are a bunch of sore losers, or they try to come up with excuses to explain to their big money donors. Remember, this woman spent over $1 billion on her campaign and still lost, even though her opponent spent far less. So they're just coming up with excuses for their donors and many other reasons. But this is straight out of their playbook. So let me take you to another article if you don't believe what I'm saying. This is an article that was published in The Guardian in January of 2016. Sanders smeared as communist sympathizer as Clinton allies sling mud. Now, let me jump down here a little bit. I'll read the opening paragraph. Attacks on Bernie Sanders by rival Democrats are likely to turn increasingly to his record on the economy and foreign affairs, according to a new dossier seen by The Guardian that accuses him of sympathizing with communists and not believing in capitalism. It goes on down. So they even tried to accuse him of being a racist, when obviously Hillary Clinton is the one who called black children and Hispanic children super predators. Certainly it was Hillary Clinton's campaign. Hillary Clinton, who has the history of a connection to the private prison lobby. So they were just coming up with all kind of lies to smear this man. Even I've seen reports that there were talks behind the scenes about attacking him for his Jewish religion and what have you. But going on down, it goes on to say specifically they tried to attack him saying that he went to Russia. The dossier prepared by opponents of Sanders and passed on to The Guardian by a source who would only agree to be identified as a Democrat. And I hate it when these newspapers publish these things without citing sources. Now, I could see if this was a whistleblower or something like that, but it's not. These are political operatives, and these leaks or these unconfirmed sources do nothing but muddy the waters, in my opinion, in getting to the truth. But anyway, I'll read that again. The dossier prepared by opponents of Sanders and passed on to The Guardian by a source who would only agree to be identified as a Democrat alleges that Sanders sympathized with the USSR during the Cold War because he went on a trip there to visit a twinned city while he was mayor of Burlington. Similar associations with communism in Cuba are cataloged alongside a list of quotes about countries ranging from China to Nicaragua in a way that supporters regard as bordering on McCarthyite, rather than fairly reflecting his views. So what we're seeing waged against the Trump administration and members of his administration or people that he's nominating is nothing but a witch hunt. It is red baiting. It is taking us back to the days of McCarthyism. And just for you Black history buffs out there, you will recall that the civil rights activist Paul Robeson was forced out the country. Now, this man was an admitted communist and what have you, but again, I thought this is supposed to be a free country where you can practice whatever you want to practice, or you can speak on whatever ideology you want to speak on. But Paul Robeson was forced out this country because of the McCarthy witch hunt. So for those that don't know what McCarthyism is, let me give you a quick definition on what McCarthyism entails. McCarthyism is the practice of making accusations of subversion or treason without proper regard for evidence. Again, here we have on PBS them saying that you have 17 U.S. intelligence agencies saying without a doubt that the Russians hacked the 2016 presidential election, which is a lie. That is not what they said. They said there was a high probability. But if you are like me and you know the history of these intelligence agencies, mind you, these are the same agencies that are violating the U.S. Constitution and mass surveillance of the public, the American public, utilizing social media to spy on us. So I don't even know, just like I don't understand why people are defending the mainstream media. If you knew the history of the mainstream media in lying and supporting racism, white supremacy, and supporting American imperialism throughout the world, you would not be so quick to dismiss any accusations of fake news stories coming from the mainstream press. They get caught in lies all the time. But there again, there's no evidence that they have shown to show that somebody flipped votes or paid for votes but that's not what they're talking about. Again, they're saying that the Russians hacked the DNC email. And if the people had not found out Hillary Clinton was such a corrupt character and that Bernie Sanders was being cheated, that those millennials who stayed home instead of coming out to vote for a cheater, Hillary Clinton would have won if this hadn't come out. So again, I mean, this is just really crazy. They're making an excuse for corruption. They're trying to direct you away from the real problem, which is the DNC. Okay, their problems are not external. Their problems are internal. And let me continue on. It also means, again, I'm giving you the definition of McCarthyism. It also means the practice of making unfair allegations or using unfair investigative techniques, especially in order to restrict dissent or political criticism. So this is what certain elements in mainstream media, the ones who have who play to a liberal audience like MSNBC, like CNN, and others are engaged in. unfair investigative techniques. Remember, they come out publishing this story. The Washington Post published a story talking about fake news was pushed out by these list of websites. Black Agenda Report was on that list. Black Agenda Report is a legitimate news organization that I have followed for quite some time. And the Washington Post had to then withdraw their McCarthy-like list. Blacklist, if you will, or red list, whatever we want to call it, trying to blackball. And they were forced to withdraw that and say that, hell, they don't know who put together the list. They just published it. Again, this is the same newspaper or online publication, Washington Post, that just hired Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, who is a lobbyist or started a lobbyist company with his brother, John. I forget their names, but him and his brother started the Podesta Group. Guess who was one of the clients of the Podesta Group to lobby Congress? Russia. So again, this is nothing but nonsense. This is, the Hillary Clinton camp. Engaging in the same sort of McCarthyism that they engaged in against Bernie Sanders. This article, again, is from January of 2016, and here we are in March of 2017, and they're still running the same playbook, except for they're running against Trump instead of Sanders. So I just want people who turn to Black Talk Radio for news and information to know that I'm going to do my very best to make sure that you are fully informed and not to be fooled by these media outlets just because they have these names or whatnot and have these huge platforms. All right, this is Scotty signing out of Black Talk Radio News Report.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new media. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I had a little issue there with my audio. I don't know what happened there, but I got it fixed. So that was my report from last night. I just wanted to share it again because I know some people don't listen to the podcast, but they listen to the radio stream. And I just don't want to see our people out here falling behind and repeating these lies of the Democratic Party. It is nothing but pure bull. Don't be a useful idiot of the Democratic Party. Again, I can't stand Trump. I can't stand what he stands for. I would love to see him go down, but I am not going to engage in any kind of deception like that and lying to people and just so, you know, Hillary Clinton. I mean, what are these people's end game? What is their end game, really? Okay, I don't know, but it ain't good. It ain't good for the people who live trapped behind these enemy lines. We don't need any more chaos than we already have. All right. I'm going to move on from that. Again, if you have any questions or comments about anything I've covered thus far, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056. Hit ** to put yourself in the caller's queue, and I will come to you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next story. This is a story that is pretty sick, man. And then it's also a story that should show you that when people start saying conspiracy theory or saying something's conspiracy theory or this is a hoax or this is a fraud, do your investigation and come to your own determination, because it can be true if you just do the research, if you do the investigation. And 20 years ago, as I stated at the beginning of this broadcast, I read this book about deviancy in the Catholic Church, and they were talking about this monastery. I think the monastery was in France, and saying that there was in the catacombs, you know, the underground tunnels and stuff like that, that people had found dead babies, you know, the bones, obviously, the body would have been decomposed after so many years, but found the bones of dead babies and said that these dead babies were the result of sexual activity, nuns getting impregnated by priests. But since nobody's supposed to be having sex, oh, let's kill these babies and bury them. And so, you know, back when I read that book, I'm not going to say I believed it offhand, but I believe anything is possible. And I also know about the corruption of the Catholic Church and its role in slavery and genocide, you know, giving people permission to murder non-Christians and what have you. So I was like, hey, it's possible. I'm not going to say this man's lying or whatnot, but I read the book about 20, 25 years ago. I can't cite any of the sources, but he did have some sources listed. All right. But a similar story has now come, is coming out of Ireland. Now, this story don't involve priests getting nuns pregnant and killing the babies to cover up their sexual activities, since they're all supposed to be celibate. But this was a Catholic, this was a home for unwed mothers and their children, run by the Catholic Church in Ireland. Now, this place shut down in 1961, but recently they found a mass grave. And really, to say a mass grave is wrong, because, and that's on my part, wrong on my part to frame it that way, because a mass grave just refers to a big giant hole in the ground where you just pile bodies in. These babies' bodies and small children's bodies weren't just found in holes in the ground. Now, I already came across The Guardian. The Guardian wrote an article on it, and they left out some key details. They tried to say, oh, it was just a mass grave on a burial ground. But that is not what another article stated, and I'm going to read that article to you. Now, again, the Washington Post is a piece of trash. I wouldn't trust them any farther than I could see them, especially if we're talking about politics. But this particular story, I will share it with you. And I do find it to be credible based off of the links that they provided and the sources that they provided. This was an article written by, it was published today, this morning, by Fred Barbosch. The title is Decades Old Mass Grave of Children of Unwed Mothers Confirmed in Ireland between 1925 and 1960 in a tiny town called Tuam. In Western Ireland's County Galway, thousands of fallen women, and they put that in quotation, and their illegitimate children, that's also in quotations, passed through the mother and baby home operated by the Congregation of the Sisters of Bon Secours. After a period of involuntary service, that means they forced these women to stay there, and I guess to work there. But after a period of involuntary service and penance, many of the women who came to the home left to resume their lives, as the Post Terrence McCoy reported in 2014. But some of the children did not leave, and what became of them remained a mystery into which few cared to inquire. See, they didn't want to know what happened to all them children. They wanted to cover it up because the Catholic Church was involved, and you know how powerful the Vatican is. But it says, after a painstaking research, a local historian named Catherine Corliss became convinced in 2014 that the infants and small children, perhaps 700 to 800 of them, died in the home and were buried without markers in mass graves beneath the property, perhaps in underground structures such as septic tanks. Now, this is what she believed, okay, based off of her research. Her research turned out to be factual. The story, which attracted worldwide publicity, was met with skepticism and even suggestions that it was a hoax. It wasn't. A commission established by the Irish government in response to her research and ensuing controversy has reported finding significant quantities of human remains in 17 underground chambers inside a buried structure. That structure, the commission said, appears to be related to the treatment and containment of sewage and or wastewater, though it is uncertain whether the structure was ever used for that purpose. There is no uncertainty about the remains. A small number of them were recovered for analysis, the commission reported. These remains, it said, involved a number of individuals with ages at death ranges from 35 weeks old to 2 to 3 years old. Radiocarbon dating of the samples recovered suggested that the remains date from the time frame relevant to the operation of the mother and baby home, the commission said. A number of the samples are likely to date from the 1950s. They are still testing it. Let me move down. The testing and excavation found another structure as well, which the commission said appeared to be a large sewage containment system or septic tank that had been decommissioned and filled with rubble and debris and then covered with topsoil. The report did not say whether researchers had looked for remains in that structure. So it goes on and on. So again, just like, what was that Boys Town scandal here in the United States, in Nebraska, and they ended up making a scapegoat, because he was, I ain't going to say they framed him, because he did participate, of this black dude. I can't recall his name off the top of my head right now, but the name of the boys' home was called Boys Town. And what was being reported by even some of the boys themselves is that they were hooking these boys up with politicians and powerful white men who were having sex with these boys. And they covered it up. It did make some of the national papers, but it soon disappeared from the headlines. And this guy actually did get in trouble. Lawrence King, I believe his name was Lawrence King. I'm pretty sure his name, the black dude's name, was Lawrence King. He was a Republican operative, and they even connected George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, that's Daddy Bush, to this scandal. All right. And other high level politicians who were going to this Boys Town home, that supposed to be a home for wayward children, and they were having sex with them. A lot of people tried to dismiss that and say, oh, nothing like that could ever happen. Oh, this is just a hoax and a conspiracy theory. Well, they were saying the same thing about this home for unwed mothers and their children run by the Catholic Church in Ireland. And lo and behold, what do you know? Now they found the bodies. This is very sick. This is very disgusting. These are demonic people. These are demons, man. Normal, regular people cannot engage in such evil. This is the epitome of evil. Now, I was also reading in the story that some of the children died from like polio and chicken pox and, you know, diseases like that back then that they didn't have vaccines for or a way to prevent. But a lot of these children, it said, were malnourished, that their remains show signs of malnourishment, meaning they wasn't feeding these children. They were leaving these babies and little kids in there to die of starvation. Now, I'm willing to bet that some of these people who are responsible for this are still alive. They may be in their 80s. They may be in their 90s. But I'm betting you some of them are still alive. And just reading the story and how local officials was covering it up and trying, oh, that's just a hoax. That's just a rumor. And all, man, it is just so disgusting. And this is why you never put nothing beyond what a human being will do. We got some people who I wouldn't even classify as human beings. These are evil, demonic spirits. That's what they are. This is a very sad, sick story. I just had to share it with you. All right. Let's see. Next story I want to move to. Last week I discussed the issue of immigration not being a simple issue for the black community. You know, we can play semantics and those games all we want to. I'm not about playing games. I'm about just cutting straight to the truth. Now, technically, no, these immigrants, these undocumented immigrants are not taking jobs. They're being given jobs. So, I mean, that's just semantics, but we know what people mean when they say that. They mean that these people are getting jobs that otherwise would have went to Americans. And again, the fallback is, well, Americans don't want to be out there in a field picking tomatoes or picking oranges or peaches and stuff like that. Well, no, a lot of Americans don't want to work for slave wages. So that's why you smuggle people in and hold them hostage on these properties, on these farms, and then force them to work. Okay? But that let's not act like that's the only jobs that they're doing. All right? They're working as housekeepers. They're working as maids in hotels. They're working on construction crews. There was a story that came out, this big department store in New York. I forget the name of it. It was like an electronic store. The Department of Justice busted them and said that they were mistreating all the Hispanics who were working there. They also sued them for, this is U.S. government suing this department store for racism, saying that they would not give jobs to anybody who was black or Asian. So you had black applicants, you had Asian applicants, and they wouldn't hire them. They would only hire Hispanics and then mistreated them. That's why I say those people, most of these people, they don't really care nothing about these people. All they care about is the cheap labor and being able to exploit it. That's what they care. They don't, because they mistreat these people. They really do. All right. And so, but there was evidence right there. There's a story for you that jobs were being denied to black people because they were hiring nothing but these Hispanics, many of them undocumented. Okay, so it is not a simple issue for us. And as much as they like to talk about, and I'm not saying they shouldn't talk about it, a lot of people, and particularly children, being killed in Chicago. But the way they're trying to frame it, that's the mainstream media. And most of us repeat what we hear from the mainstream media. That just seems to be how things work in this country. But they try to frame it as black on black crime. All right. A lot of times they don't ever find the perpetrator. They don't, you know, some of the times they do. And some of the times it is black people killing black people. But a lot of the times they are not finding who's killing who. I believe it to be cops, all right, and I believe it to be these gangs, especially when the largest newspaper in Mexico did an article, and then their article was followed up on by other news outlets that showed that the Drug Enforcement Agency cut a deal with the Sinaloa Drug Cartel. That's the one that El Chapo Guzman runs. Cut a deal with this criminal gang to allow them to smuggle dope into the United States with a pipeline straight to Chicago. Why they picked Chicago, I don't know. This is in court documents. This a newspaper did a lot of investigative research, and they show that the DEA cut deals with these gang members to allow them to smuggle drugs. Well, why would they do that? Well, they want to fund Perhaps they working with the CIA to fund their off-the-book illegal wars that they're waging, committing acts of terrorism against non-white people all over the planet. The same reason they flooded the black community with cocaine in the 1990s or whatnot. So that's probably just more of the same. Plus, they want to see the cycle of violence continue. That's why they won't legalize drugs. I mean, again, looking at Chicago. When they legalized alcohol, what happened? That put the criminal gangs like Al Capone and others that were waging war over the control of the illegal alcohol market, it put them out of business. Now we don't see, you know, people who sell beer waging war on one another or doing drive-bys on each other bars and stuff like that because alcohol's legal now. So that is what I believe. But getting back to my main point, I believe these Mexican cartels or whatever cartels are behind a lot of the violence. And then just like we heard from Mr. Hayes last week in that clip I played, say that the Mexican gangs and from cops also and prosecutors said that these Mexican gangs gave orders to their gang members to kill and terrorize black people. So this ain't no simple issue for us, all right? We want to be on the side of justice, but at the same time, we don't want it to be just us, all right? And the fact is that a lot of these people don't have any kind of solidarity with us. In fact, they are targeting us. They want to replace us, all right? So here's a story I came across last night about a MS-13 gang members. There's a couple of them. This comes to you from the Chicago Tribune. It says, let me close this advertisement. Two MS-13 gang members from El Salvador, and MS-13 does operate in Charlotte, North Carolina, as I've seen them connected to stories of violence in the Charlotte community. All right. So two MS-13 gang members from El Salvador, both in the United States illegally, held three teenage girls against their will and killed one of them in a satanic ritual, authorities in Houston said Friday. Miguel Alvarez Flores, who is 22 years old, and Diego Hernandez Rivera, 18 years old, have been arrested and charged with aggravated kidnapping and murder, both first-degree felonies punishable by up to life imprisonment. Bonds total from $300,000 have been set for each, but immigration detainers will keep both behind bars. The 15-year-old girl's body was found February 16 with gunshot wounds to the face and chest. Homicide Detective Sergeant Chris Sturdivant said the girl's identity has not been officially determined, but that investigators are confident they know who she is, a girl who was reported missing in January in Jersey Village, Texas. The captives were three young, impressionable women ranging from ages 14 to 16 who succumbed to the allure gang life before taken into an apartment and held there against their will. Let me stop right there. Again, shout out to a brother, Kwabenai Rasuli, who's operating in the Chicago area, operating Clear the Airways Project, and taking on these radio, urban radio stations targeting the black community, glorifying what? Gang life, glorifying the drug crimes and all of that kind of stuff. And don't think it ain't impacting our young people, because it is. So these girls seem to have fallen a victim to the allure of the glamorization through mainstream media of gang life through music. These are major corporations traded on Wall Street. If it's illegal for people to sell drugs, then it seems to me then it ought to be illegal for you to go on FCC airways playing music with lyrics that promote drug dealing. Or promotes killing, or promotes prostitution, or the mistreatment of our women and girls. So just a side note to that. All right. So the reason that they killed this girl is because they had some kind of what do they call that? It's not a monument. It is called. Let me find that part in the story. what do they call it when you set up a little religious idol that you're going to pray to or whatnot? A shrine. They set up a shrine to a satanic saint, according to the investigators. And the 15-year-old was killed because she had knocked over or struck the shrine to this satanic saint. They said that the girl was killed, said that Alvarez Flores made a peace offering to the figure in the form of a cigarette. He returned, this is what she said, he returned from the statue and told the entire group that the beast did not want a material offering, but wanted a soul. Man, so they killed her, sacrificed her to this idol, this graven idol. This is sick, man. This is sick. Now, again, I do blame the United States foreign policy for the violence that's going on in El Salvador. I blame the CIA, all right, when they went down there and they overthrew the democratically elected government of those countries, not just El Salvador, because they were self-described as socialists or communist countries. And so what? So what? That gives you justification to go in and overthrow their government and then fund these terrorists to commit acts of violence and assassinate people and to destabilize the region until you can get your puppets in power? So at the end of the day, I blame this stuff on the quote-unquote intelligence agencies of the United States for destabilizing these non-white countries so that these white corporations can go down there and exploit the land and the people. So, but again, while I put the blame on them, at the same time, I am not no fool, and I know that these elements do exist in our communities, and they are engaged in stuff that is not doing anyone any good. And I refuse to align myself or express any kind of solidarity with these violent criminals. They want to engage in such criminal acts, then let the racist cracker deal with them. All right? Let Trump deal with them. Let Beauregard, what's his name? Jeff Beauregard Sessions deal with them. All right? Because they ain't, these type of people don't mean us no good. And I ain't got a problem with them targeting them and getting them up out of here. Because again, they are not expressing any kind of solidarity with us. I'm talking about the criminal element. They don't mean us no good. So why would anybody want to stand up for them? I'm not. Get them out. Last story I want to share with you. Let me see. I'm going to go a little bit over. I knew I probably wouldn't have time, but I'm just going to put it out there like this. Now, I was trolled by this person who claims he's a counter-racist, and this person trolls me all the time. Every time we post something to Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page, not every time, let me not exaggerate, but from time to time when we post stuff dealing with racism and expressing our individual opinions and thoughts on this, here come this troll. Here come this troll. I'm not even going to say their name. I finally blocked the person today because I was like, you know, I'm going to be patient with this person. We need to be patient with black people and whatnot. Even though this person being antagonistic, he ain't trying to have a dialogue. He's trying to dictate to us what words and definitions and terms that we use. All right. And so I had came up with this mathematical problem. This mathematical problem goes like this. White people plus Y, the variable Y is an unknown variable. We're trying to figure out what that variable is. But white people plus Y equal institutional racism. What is Y? So Y is the undefined variable that I'm asking people to plug in, and that plus white people equal institutional racism. This person trolled my page because I chose to use the word institutional racism and not the term white supremacy. going to tell me that institutional racism is white supremacy. Now, again, I know in the counter-racist community that people are encouraged to come up with their own terms, and there's nothing wrong with coming up with your own terms if terms don't already exist to express that what you're trying to convey. For example, I came up with the term proxy racism. Why did I come up with that term? Because I agree that calling people house niggers and calling people coons and stuff like that, that's kind of not cool, and that's name calling, and that's only going to lead to arguments and, you know, just unconstructive dialogue that consists of nothing but name calling and people getting defensive and whatnot. And, you know, nobody's actually working on solving the problem. So that's why I came up with the term proxy racism as a way to explain what a house nigger, what people mean in scientific terms when they talk about house niggers, you know, people who are proxies of the racist system. All right. They are not aligning themselves with the victims of the system, even though they could be described as victims of the system. But still, though, they are choosing to lessen the oppression that they are suffering by helping the oppressor so that they can get rewards from the oppressor. All right. So that's what people mean when they talk about house niggers and what they do. So I decided, okay, I don't want to use that term house nigger. It does have a very ugly connotation to it. I don't want to be calling people house niggers. So I'll just say this is proxy racism. All right. Tools of the system or whatnot. So I ain't got a problem with people making up their own terms as long as those terms, you're still using the definition of the words to make up that term, and it makes sense. Now, when you start changing the definition, institutional racism has a specific definition that is different from the definition of white supremacy. All right. And first of all, we speak English in this country. That person was communicating to me in English. We all came up learning words based on a English dictionary defining these words. Okay. So that is where the masses of the people, how we are able to communicate with each other, because we are working from the same definitions. Now, when you start trying to change the definition of words, you're going to lead to confusion. It's going to lead to confusion because you don't get to change the definition of the words. All right. You didn't make up the word. So you don't get to change the definition of the word. And then if I operate from this specific person's ideology or what they believe, black people ain't in control of the dictionary, and they ain't in control of the English language. And so they don't get to make up words or change the definition. Only the supreme people, which they say are white people, since they're in charge, and I agree they are in charge, although I refuse to refer to them as being supreme. But I do understand what they mean when they say that, because I'm privy to their use of the word. They made up their own definition for white supremacy. All right. It's different than the dictionary. But since I've been exposed to what their beliefs for so long, I'm not going to debate that with them. But other people who don't know they made up a new definition for it, then they're going to be confused. What are you talking about? That's not the definition in the dictionary. OK. And so it just led me to the conclusion. The only way you get to make up a new definition of a word is if you create a new word. You don't get to make up a new definition for a word that has already existed for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. You didn't create the language. You didn't create the word. And you are not in charge in or of defining the word. Now, how in the heck can we all get on the same page if we're using words but have different definition of these words? That I thought we were supposed to be eliminating confusion. I thought about that long and hard. That's creating confusion. If I say shut the door, everybody in the house knows what I'm talking about. They know I'm talking about this barrier. Usually it's a rectangle that has hinges and whatnot, and I can open and close it, right? That then people just can't walk into the house, right? I shut the door. You know what I'm talking about. You know what a door is. Now, what if I said shut the rud? You're going to be like, what the hell is a rud? What are you talking about? Shut the rud. Rud is door spelled backwards. They're going to be like, what you talking about? I don't know what a rud is. What are you talking about? Close the rud. So you even have to be careful in making up new words. Not if you trying to convey a certain ideology or strategy to the masses. Cause everybody ain't in your little clique. Everybody don't go to your church, and they ain't all operating from the same handbook. What we're operating from is the dictionary that we grew up with as children, that we learned the definition of these words. Excuse me. And we learn the definition of these words all throughout our academic careers. Now, when you come along and you try to change the definition, and then you gonna act like we supposed to know what you talking about. We supposed to understand. That's not the definition. The definition of racism is the mistreatment of someone based on their skin color. That's all it says. We don't get to make up new definitions of racism and then expect everybody to understand what we're talking about. We don't get to make up new words. We don't get to use old words that already have been clearly defined and then change the definition and then expect people to understand what we're talking about. That's not logical, is it? It's not logical. Again, I ain't got a problem with people making up new terms to express something that otherwise people may not be able to understand. But you don't get to change the definition of words and make up new definitions. That's nothing but confusion. Because then guess what? It's going to lead to what he did, just trolling my page because he want to try to tell me what word or term I should use to describe institutional racism. Now, I chose institutional racism for a reason. Because in my mind, you cannot eliminate racism. Anybody that's trying to eliminate racism, good luck. You cannot change what an individual feels or believes in their heart. Okay? I have heard white supremacy described as a religion. Well, if you mean a religion in terms of people working off of beliefs and working on faith because they have no evidence and they have no concrete proof to establish it as a fact, then yeah, it is a religion. If white people think that they are biologically, intellectually, aesthetically superior to other people who are non-white, all right? That's a belief. So, okay, that's not a fact. So we could say, yeah, I can see where you mean when you say that's a religion. I can because a religion is a set of beliefs. So I understand that. But institutional racism doesn't deal with the beliefs of individuals. Institutional racism deals with government policies. Institutional policies like bank policies, like school policies, like government policies, like we were talking about earlier about Jeff Sessions talking about he's not going to investigate police departments for violating the civil rights of black people. That's institutional racism. So for this person to try to have the audacity and he ain't in charge of nothing, according to his logic. He ain't in charge of nothing. So if you ain't in charge of nothing, what makes you think you in charge of what words Scotty Reed used or what words come out of my mouth? You ain't in charge of my mouth. You don't get to tell me what words I can use or what the definition of words are. All I can look them up and see what the definition of words are. I talked about this in another video. The mainstream media changing the definition of what anti-Semitism means or what a Semite is. A Semite is somebody who belongs to a group that speaks Semitic languages, also known as Afro-Asiatic languages originating in Northern Africa. There's a specific region. I forget the name of that giant lake, but it originated there. All right. Now, all of a sudden, being anti-Semitic means you being anti-Jewish. Well, that's not what Semitic means. Semitic refers to a group of families. But the mainstream mass media, because they control the minds of the masses, have everybody using the word anti-Semitism in the wrong context. Has nothing to do with the definition. To refer to the mistreatment of people who subscribe to a religion. And they're specifically talking about American and European Jews who do not speak Hebrew, which is a Semitic language, but speak Yiddish, which is a German-based language, which is a bastardized language, just like English is, meaning that it has words from several different languages that it incorporates. Okay? So we got people saying, oh, this is anti-Semitism, when it's not. It's religious bigotry. They're not Semites. They're being attacked based on their religion. This is confusion. This is how the mass media manipulates your mind. This is deception. Don't engage in deception and manipulation. And don't be confusing people by trying to change the standard definitions. And then when somebody uses the words in their proper context, according to the definition that's in these books, called dictionaries, and then you want to squabble with them and say, oh, they ain't using the word properly, when it's you who don't know the proper definition of the word because you didn't get it from the dictionary. You made it up. That's going to lead to me and you not being on the same page and going back and forth, wasting time because you making stuff up. Okay? That's not constructive. So I just thought about that long and hard. You know, how do you expect to unite people to end something when you are not even using language in the proper way, meaning that you're using words according to how they have clearly been already established and defined, making up new definitions for old words leads to confusion. So that's my contribution to counter racism tonight, is stop confusing people. Stick to the already established and accepted definitions, because when you start making up definitions for already established words, you ain't doing nothing but confusing people. And it's just not going to be constructive. All right, that's the end of my program. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I will be back next week with another live broadcast of Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting from our broadcast home, Black Talk Radio Network. You can subscribe to my podcast. I do put out podcasts different days during the week. I don't have no set schedule on that. And I'm also making videos, so subscribe to our subscribe to our RSS feed at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Black Talk Radio and on YouTube. Our channel is Black Talk Radio or Black Talk Media. Put that in the search engine, you'll find us. And you can find us everywhere by just simply putting in Black Talk Radio. If we're on there, it'll pull us up. With that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc. Jeff Beauregard Session just gave slave catchers a license to enslave, and to kill on sites. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? We need to be having conversations offline about how we are going to counter what's coming down the pipe. Because they telling us boldly, announcing to the world that they are not interested in protecting your civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, whatever, however you want to frame it. They don't care if these police abuse the citizens. They don't care. That's what Jeff Sessions said. So recognize that, all right, and develop ways that you can move behind these enemy lines as safely as possible. Always be on guard. Always exercise battlefield awareness, because it's about to escalate out there on that battlefield in the coming months. Don't be a victim. With that said, peace and blessings to all. Hey, no, no, no.